Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
And we are coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. When you want the ability to adjust your loan options in real time, friends, Rocket can. It's Ken Carmen on CBS Sports Radio, 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. Send the tweets, send the hot takes, at Ken Carmen, C-A-R-M-A-N. I'm going to start off the show doing something I really have never done, and I've said that a bunch of times recently, because I like to experiment, I like to try new things. I'm going to start this off by telling you I listened to something else this week. I listened to something else on a totally different network this week. And while, you know, I work for Odyssey, and Odyssey has tons of sports stations all over the country and tons of great sports podcasts and tons of great sports hosts. You got Danny Parkins over there in Chicago. You got Filippone over there in Pittsburgh. You got my co-host, Anthony Lima, who you hear on this network from time to time, and again, who I think the world of, and he knows that, and I think everybody who listens knows that. I mean, there are real heavy hitters. I do try to find different things. And there's a lot of things that I'll listen to in terms of podcasts just to make sure I'm up to date, to make sure I'm informed so I don't try to embarrass myself. Pick Six Podcast, we've had Ryan Wilson on, we've had Will Brinson on, John Breach a couple of times. That's a great podcast. Unpaid Testimonial, go check that out. There's plenty of other podcasts that I listen to. One of them, to make sure I'm up to date on NBA stuff, is Low Post. Now, Zach Lowe's a talented writer. Zach Lowe's a talented reporter. And in the holster has been one podcast or one episode of his podcast that I've been holding on to for goodness gracious, I wish I would have remembered it before I deleted it. It has to be over a month that I've kept this thing in the holster. Whenever he has Doris Burke on, like I make sure I have a drive so I can listen to Doris Burke and make sure I get everything from her. A couple other folks, yeah, there are certainly people that I'm click goodbye, not even trying. But there are a few that are in there that I wanted to hear, and there was one that I've been holding on to for about a month. And then late last week, I hope I'm saying this name right, Adam Caporal, who is from Complex, did a piece about the NBA and about just how bad the product is right now. And I thought that he hit basically on every single note on how bad the NBA is right now and what's wrong with the NBA and how to fix the NBA. I read a great piece from Basketball News and Spencer Davies, the Alex Kennedy website that talks about ring culture and how ring culture needs to go, but it's never going to go anywhere. And you can tell that from Kevin Durant and his entire behavior on social media and how obsessed he is. While he says he's not obsessed, how obsessed he is with winning a championship with the Brooklyn Nets. I thought this might be the week to do it. And I think this is the week to do it because I decided to, what was this, Thursday? Yeah, Thursday I decided I would go, okay, you know what? It says the tale of two NBAs. I'm going to listen to Kurt Goldsberry here. Listen to Kurt Goldsberry with Zach Lowe, ESPN. Even though I'm not the biggest fan, the practices are weird, but either way. Let's hear an ESPN guy. Let's hear all this go. It was the tale of two NBAs. I got nothing against Kurt Goldsberry. I got nothing against him. I've never met the guy. I think I've had him on the show once before ESPN did what ESPN does and blocks everybody or whatever it is. I got nothing against him. I think my problem maybe with him is a problem amongst NBA media. and I'm going to try to do this without being too upset about this, because I don't want to go overboard, and I don't want you to not believe me, because I live in a city that has been marginalized by NBA basketball, that has been the benefactor of NBA basketball in the way that the NBA is now, absolutely, but has been marginalized by the current NBA and by the practices of the NBA over the last decade. And I'm hearing Kurt Goldsberry on this, and I for a second I go, gosh, this is just, and this is going to be a tough word to say, a tough phrase to say, but it's just the truth. It's the first thing that I thought about, and it's nothing against this guy. I don't want to be too personal about it, but I got to say, I'm listening to this, and I'm going, this is some of the most tone-deaf rhetoric I've heard in quite some time. And while I'm listening to it, I get a little bit upset. I get more upset, and then all of a sudden it hits me. I'm not mad at him. I'm not mad at Kurt Goldsberry. I'm not mad at Zach Lowe. I'm not mad at them, and personally not mad at them. It's a generality. You have a league right now. It's media, and I've heard a couple of people who have been different. We have Justin Termini on, and you know I love Justin like crazy because he's a different guy, and he does not go down the NBA line. And I think what Justin does is that he protects or tries to protect and build up a regular fan that isn't in New York and L.A. But what I'm hearing just now, this aha moment that I'm hearing from Kurt Goldsberry and so many of these NBA writers of, you know, there's really two NBAs around here, you guys. There are the haves and there's the have-nots. And I'm going, man, where have you been the last decade? I must not be making nearly the type of impact that I think I do. This is very humbling to me. Because I said this a decade ago. I was willing to admit this on this network 4 years ago. I was willing to admit this when it came to the Cleveland Cavaliers and LeBron James. I was willing to say these things then. And I must be, man, I am just really small potatoes in the grand scheme of things. This is really a humbling experience. There's been me and guys like Pony and guys like Parkins and guys like Lima who have been saying this for a long period of time about the NBA. And just now, the general populace of big national NBA media is getting it. Just now, in 2021, took a pandemic, took no fans in the stands, took bitter social media arguments between other media members and politicians and basketball players. Now we're finally getting it over a decade, really. This wasn't back in 2010. There was no foreshadowing of this in 2010 of the tale of two NBAs, which has become a reality over the last decade. We're just now getting to this. If there's an example of the emperor no longer having clothes, I don't know if there's a better one than what we're dealing with right now. Just now, there's two NBAs. There's the haves and the have-nots. Really? It took James Harden showing his ass in Houston and being able to go back and play in Brooklyn and Kyrie Irving deciding where he wanted to go. And it took you that much to figure that out. Took that long for the general populace of the NBA media to figure that out. How long must we carry water? These are smart people. These are well-learned people. These are intellectuals. These are people who think of creative ways to attack a subject, to comment, to criticize, to report. These are smart people. I'm not calling these people stupid. But when I hear this and hear about, well, we're just seeing the tale of two NBAs. We're just seeing the tale of two NBAs. There's a problem here. And I've done this a billion times. I've said this example before, and I'll say it again. I am a grossly overweight individual. Pierno has no idea where this is going. He might. I'm a grossly overweight individual. I tell myself every week I'm going to start a new diet. I'm going to live right. I'm going to work out. I'm going to do this. And, I might work out. But you know what? Pizza just tastes too good. Ice cream is just too good. My sons like to eat Oreos. I'll give them an Oreo. One for you, five for me. And all of a sudden, the bag's gone. And during that time, I can I can do plenty of little things to dig my put my head in the sand. I can avoid mirrors. I can avoid scales. I haven't been on a scale in months. I know what the news is going to be. I don't want to see the bad news. I'm just as good at this as anybody else is. I'm just as good at deflection and burying my head in the sand as any NBA writer out there would be. So I see where it is. Where you go to Cleveland when LeBron's there. You go to Milwaukee while Giannis is there. You went to Oklahoma City while the great triumvirate was there, and then it went down to two, and then went down to one, and now there's nobody there. You don't go there anymore. You went in those places where there was fever. There was excitement for a player. There were places that people got excited about. But have you been to Cleveland since? Have you seen, went to the Cavaliers since? The outpost, the last gasp of Kevin Love's career. Have you been there since? I don't think you have. And that, to me, is the problem with NBA media. That, to me, is the problem with general writers of the NBA. When I hear 10 years later, after the big three in Miami, going on 10 years now, and over. Well, we have a tale of two NBAs. The media still isn't talking 85% of NBA cities. The media talks to New York. The media talks to LA. They talk a little bit to Miami, maybe because of Riles, maybe because they're able to build something there still. Maybe it's the last bastion for some hardcore basketball fans, the old style basketball fans. Maybe it's that way. Media's not talking to Sacramento, not talking to Cleveland, not talking to Detroit, certainly not talking to Oklahoma City anymore. You Phoenix, they like to throw Phoenix out there because they got a couple of young, exciting players, but it isn't that way. This took 10 years to realize. It took 10 years to realize you're behind the eight ball. And my question is always, what's the disconnect? So many people are going to throw politics in this, and I mean, I guess I'll take those calls. I've always watched, no matter what political statement was being made, because I watched the NFL after Ray Carruth murdered his girlfriend. I watched the NFL after Greg Hardy drug a woman over a pile of guns. I watched the NFL after many arrests, after many issues of domestic violence, after all the CTE. I watched the NFL. I consume it. I love it. I watched the NBA. Through the Jailblazers. I love the NBA. I still watch NBA basketball. I'm not going to boycott anything. Nothing gets me so in a row that I won't watch it. So when you talk politics, that might be something personal to you, fine. But you're still listening to this. So there's something in there where you want to be brought back. If you're listening to Sports Talk Radio right now on a Saturday, you want to be brought back. You want somebody to seduce you. You're listening to me. You want somebody to hear you out or bring you in. Politics have always been a part of sports. People say stop the politicizing. It's always been a part of it. George W. Bush owned a baseball team while his father was president. I don't want to hear anything else. Nothing has made me not with baseball, not with what happened with the All-Star game, not with what happened in the NFL with Colin Kaepernick. Nothing has made me boycott a sport. I've seen them all do way worse things. Nothing has made me do it. I think most of you are like me. If you're listening to this, you want to be seduced, or you accept it for what it is, and away you go. I'll still try to watch the game. There's a question of accessibility. Some people have brought up the regional sports networks. I think they're right about that. The lack of cable, cord cutters, people on YouTube TV, Hulu with their live sports, they have less accessibility than they've ever had before. There's a possibility where, yeah, there's if I'm a fan of a basketball team that's under 500, and I know they're going to be under 500 coming in, or maybe I have hope that they might be a little bit, maybe an 8 seed somewhere in there. Maybe if I'm a fan of that team, I'll try to go out of my way to jailbreak, fire stick, whatever I have to watch my favorite team at the beginning of the season. But, you know, on that first West Coast swing where they lose 4 of 5 and 4 in a row, and then they come back, and there's a couple people taking some days off, and it just isn't the same. Yeah, probably not going to do as much as I did. Probably not going to go through the rigmarole. When I have cable, which so fewer and fewer people actually have, I click on my cable right now. I can go to all my favorites right here on Spectrum, unpaid testimonial, because every now and then they really upset me, so I don't even want to give them a bunch of run, but I'm going to go ahead and do it. And I can go through and I can figure, okay, right here, Bally Sports Great Lakes, Tennis Classics, not really interested in that. Ah, there's the Indians game from last night. I can go and watch the Indians game from last night, and away I go. It's right there. And because it comes every month and it's part of my internet package, it feels like it's free. It's easy for me to access baseball and basketball, especially the NBA, when I already have cable. But there's so many people who are young that have cut cable, that have cut the quote-unquote cord. Lack of fans? I think lack of fans is a big issue in the NBA. There's an intimacy to it. And while there are so many players that don't like the fans, and the fans at times go over the line, and I've told the Vince Carter story myself, I'm guilty of that a little bit. I didn't cuss at anybody. I didn't cuss at Trae Young. Well, we've been through that a little bit. The lack of fans, I think, hurts. To watch a basketball game, to see not the people down there, not to see the one character, Jimmy, I forget what's his name, over there in L.A., and Jack Nicholson, and so many different characters, Nav Bhatia up in Toronto, to not see those guys, it throws you off. I think the lack of fans, the lack of excitement, and yes, when you don't have those people there, in a place like the NBA where it is so intimate and that people go there to be seen, it takes some of the specialness away from the game. Also with social media, it's the same thing I was talking about with the accessibility with basketball and regional sports networks. I got a couple of people to talk to me about this earlier this week. I'm not going to mention any names. Now, this is true. Who have spoken to ESPN executives over this last week, and ESPN executives, from what I'm told by two separate sources, are nervous. Guys, it's as big as it's ever been on social media. They're telling them it's as big as it's ever been on social media. It's so interactive on Twitter. It's so interactive on Instagram. You have the NBA Top Shot app where people are buying clips and using it basically like Dogecoin. It's incredible. And people aren't watching the product. I think, yeah, guys, people who have social media, who can watch highlights, and we'll take this in, they're your core audience. But when we have social media in Twitter and Instagram, which is what, 10%, 9% of all Americans? That's a very small number. When you were on cable, when you were on broadcast network television during the finals, and you were in the 80s, and you were watching Magic, and you were watching Bird, there were plenty of people who did not have basketball teams, that people in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma, never thought to have NBA basketball at that time, and they were tuned in to watch your stars, which of course brings me to hope, which of course brings me to the regular season and how meaningless it is, and how while I just talked all this stuff about Kirk Goldsberry and all these other national NBA writers, folks, I'm just as guilty as everybody else, because when LeBron James came back to Cleveland for those 4 years, it was not my problem. Dan Dockich compared LeBron James to backhoe operators and to construction workers and to police officers and fire people and all those other things, firefighters and all those other things, fire people, all those other things. He compared them, and I rolled my eyes. The people who had driven 600, 700, 800 miles to see LeBron. And then LeBron didn't show up, and I would sit there as a Cavs fan on my local radio show and say, well, I guess it sucks to be you, doesn't it? Because I wanted a championship, and I knew that it would be better for LeBron if LeBron sat, because I knew he was going to play every single one of those playoff games, and because I'm selfish, because I'm a fan, and I know you're not going to be a fan of my favorite team when he's gone, I don't give a damn. I want my guy to play. But the second he's gone, and the second the championship is up there, what's my buy-in? For the interest of the Cleveland Cavaliers, and I use them as an example because I'm from there. What's the buy-in? What's the excitement now? I've won my championship. I see a team that's in a league that, I don't know if things are going the way they're going. I don't think the Cavaliers will ever have a chance to win a championship ever again. Even if I get a guy like Giannis someday, I got about 7 years to make a championship run out of that. I got to sell everything off, which I'm fine to do. I was fine to do it with LeBron, but I got to get a player who's just as good. And remember, we got to go through because there is a league of veterans, we have to go through the early growing pains and some of the things that you just have to do with a young player. They can't just take over and dominate the league from day one. Michael didn't do that. LeBron certainly didn't do that. Zion won't do that. None of the balls will do that. Ja Morant as good as he was his rookie year. There are tough things that you have to deal with at the beginning of your career in becoming an NBA All-Star year by year by year. And by the time that he's really ready to blossom, he's really ready to go to a different city. What's my buy-in now? I've already achieved it. I've seen the championship. I've seen the best story in the world. I've seen them come back from 3-1 against a 73-win basketball team of the likes we may never see again because the players aren't going to play as many of those games as we ever seen again. I've seen them complete an unreal tale. Where's the next chapter? And anybody who wins a title in a mid-major market or a small market, what's their buy-in for the future after their player leaves? Can't all be Lakers fans. Can't all be Brooklyn Nets fans. Maybe the Knicks. And hey, they're 30-27. The Knicks are maybe getting their head out of their ass. Maybe the Knicks, and I say that very cautiously, the Knicks can get something going here in the future. Oh, yeah, can't all be Knicks fans. Now, I was a big guy on player empowerment when my guy wanted to come back to my favorite team. But one of the things that I think that fans, the general fan, doesn't want to admit is that they are pro-owner. Because when you're pro-owner, that means that your players will stay on your favorite team. And while you're a Bulls fan, you may not be as big of a Derrick Rose or a anybody fan as you've ever been. You are a Bulls fan. You are a Suns fan. You are a Kings fan. You may like DeMarcus Cousins. You don't care what he wants to do. You want him to play for your team when he's good. You may like Anthony Davis. You wanted to make sure he was a Pelican for life. You may like Zion Williamson. You want to make sure he's a Pelican for life. When they go, it just kills the league even more. Kind of like what we see in Major League Baseball. So 855-212-4CBS. We can complain about a bunch of things, and I just complained about a bunch of things, and I do think that the NBA media has been tone deaf. Because if they're just figuring this out, after 10 years, you have told me point blank, with these writings, with these podcasts, with these soliloquies, that you have not paid attention to the part of the league that you need to pay attention to, the league that still lays the foundation for everything else to blossom, that lays the foundation for you to grow in Europe, for you to grow in Asia, and become the world's game. You've forgotten that. How do you fix it? Working with the draft, cutting down the draft, cutting down the season, the regular season, expanding the playoffs, diminishing the playoffs, pulling it back. Which one? Some of this is natural. You start a season in December after you finished up a season in late fall. Yeah, you're going to have some problems here. Some of this is natural. I get that. But seems to be a problem with the NBA. How do you go about fixing that? 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. It's Ken Carlin on CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to Ken Carmen on CBS Sports Radio.
11:40 a.m. Eastern, Tony Pauline going to join us. We'll talk NFL draft. I heard more ridiculous stuff about Justin Fields over this last week. I couldn't believe it came out of Chris Mortensen's mouth. I can't play that because ESPN's ESPN, but you get what I'm saying. Before I get to this call here, Pierno. Oh, Pierno.
Yeah, Kenny.
Did you see the who's the betting favorite now for the number 3 overall pick? Who's supposed to go number 3? Did you see who's now
the
betting
favorite? Fields now?
Justin Fields, baby!
No more Mac Jones. He's out.
I'm going to start a chant. Kyle's not dumb. Kyle's not dumb. At Alabama. Listen, Mac Jones might be great. He's just not as good as Justin Fields, okay? If he takes Justin Fields number 3 overall that Thursday night, this Saturday is going to be a party. And if he goes out there and sucks up the room during this rest of this season, this new season coming up in 2021, and Justin Fields isn't a good quarterback and gets Kyle Shanahan fired and John Lynch fired and sets the 49ers back to the Stone Age, you'll never hear from me again about it. I'll act like it never happened. I think that is the type of accountability you want out of your sports talk radio show host. Am I wrong? Am I wrong? 855-212-4CBS. We got people. Okay, how you fix the NBA? How you doing? Which sounds like I spent a long time on this long thing about the NBA and NBA media before. So if you're just tuning in, that sounds as basic and hack as it gets. But I had people telling me this week, two separate people, hey, man, ESPN executives, they're worried. Like, not like the NBA is going to go away, but, you know, you got people spending good money on these ads. They need people to watch, and people aren't watching. Go, yeah, you know, because you need more 50-year-old guys watching. You might have 22-year-olds on Twitter who don't pay a cable bill or don't pay a cable bill because they've cut the cord. They're not watching. They might have ESPN Plus. But there's plenty of people going, I'm not going to watch. And there are so many legitimate, natural reasons. You start a season late. You start a season very quickly, basically a month after you ended the last season. Yeah, man, there's going to be wear and tear on those bodies. I understand you had to do something like that. But now when you tune in, and I heard Steve Ashburner on with Chris Moore just before me, when you have these guys, when you tune into a Philadelphia-Brooklyn game and I see no stars, none of the players that are put up on the banners on major television or major social media, when none of those players are available, what's my point of watching? What is that point? And for a fan, and I'll tell you this, when it comes to the NBA media, when the celebration happened with Blake Griffin, all right, he's out of Detroit. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, we're going to get to see the real Blake Griffin now. He's been out there just dragging ass, kind of half-assing it when he was in Detroit. How's that make a Detroit basketball fan feel? How's that make a Pistons fan feel? When you could go to the arena. Oh, it's $110 doesn't count? The guy who does go out there, the guy who Dan Dockage does compare these guys to, who goes out and grinds it out on his leather ass all week long. Mom, dad, two-income household, working as hard as they possibly can, meeting the bills, they scrape together this money. Their son's a basketball fan. They want to go see the Pistons. Dad's a Pistons fan from way back. Loved Isaiah Thomas. Loved the early 2000s Pistons. Loved Flip Saunders, the whole deal. Blake Griffin, he's just out there kind of going through the motions, getting ready to get on out of here. Oh, so your $110 doesn't matter. The $110 in another city does, but the $110 for your ticket, nah, it's pointless. Hey, I know you spent $110 a ticket for you, your wife, and your two kids. You spent over $500 to go see one NBA basketball game. I just want to let you know in Detroit, you're pointless and worthless, and we don't need you. That's how you build a fan base, huh? Whoa-ho-ho! Yeah, tell the fans they're worthless. That works out. 855-212-4CBS. Tony, David, stay there. All you guys when we come back. And Julian Edelman, no, I do not think he's a Hall of Famer. I think Julian Edelman's going to get in the Hall of Fame. It's Ken Carmen on CBS Sports Radio. Right now, the latest sports update with Marco Belletti.
You're listening to Ken Carmen on CBS Sports Radio.
Frank Schwab, Yahoo Sports, 12:40 p.m. Eastern. Also, Top 5, 11:20 a.m. Eastern. Right after that, Tony Pauline going to join us. 855-212-4CBS. I'm going to want to get to Julian Edelman here in a bit. Got to go to the phones, though. Yeah, how do you fix it? Because I could sit here and complain all day. How do I fix the NBA? How do I go about the fix of the thing? 855-212-4CBS. Let me get to David in Dallas first. These people have been patient. David, you're next up on CBS Sports Radio. Hello.
Hey, Ken. So here's the first thing. First of all, and I know a lot of media people and a lot of fans for all the player empowerment. No. Employees don't come in and tell a business how to run. Now, you're going to, you know, if and I know people say you can't compare it to the real world, but, you know, even at your job, you can't come in and just do your show on whatever. Today you want to do it on, let's just say, abortion or something. CBS Sports Radio is not going to let you do that. They aren't going to let you have a show on that, at least more than once. And I think a lot of it is that, and that ties into my...
You beat me to it, David. You really beat me to it. Like, I could do one show on it. I don't know if I'm going to get to do a second, though. Go ahead.
Exactly. Second thing, they have got to get out of the politics. I know you say politics has always been around, but not where it's literally a part of the game. It's on the jerseys and stuff. Imagine if the NFL said, you know, we're going this next season, we're going to go ahead and we're going to support the NRA and do gun rights. So imagine if it's on the back of somebody's jersey instead of on the back of Aaron Rodgers' jersey, it said, out of my dead hands, or, you know, any of those NRA kind of quotes or something, mm-hmm. you know, or the right to bear arms was on the practice warm-ups. Mm-hmm. Imagine how people would take that. You're turning off a lot of people. Even though you have the right to expose, you know, your opinion and all, when you go out there and you do that and you do it over and over and over, one thing is people want to escape from politics and stuff. Second thing is you're turning people off. That's why it's always been said, what are the two things you don't bring up, religion or politics? So they've got to get the politics the hell out of it.
That's the thing. Because, David, because there's a lot of things where I'm like, well, they got the right to say whatever they want to say. Yeah, but you also have the right to turn the channel if you want to. And they do. You know,
and
you understand? Yeah. I still don't think, and David, thank you very much for the call. I still don't think that that has as a pronounced effect as what some people do. I do think there are people like David, and I do think there are plenty of people out there who do feel that way, and they turn the channel. But I also feel, and I said this at the beginning of the show, a guy like David, David's a sports fan. David has an opinion. David wants to be seduced. David wants a reason to watch. David in Dallas wants a reason to watch. So it's not where you lost them forever. They're there. Sports fans are there. They want to be in. They want to be involved. And personally, there's just so many things. There's so many things I've seen in my childhood from 1986 to 2021 where I've seen things that have been non-political things that have been downright appalling in professional sports. Things that we would never condone. We would never condone. We don't want to make excuses for. We do at times because it's our favorite teams. They're players for our favorite teams. These are non-political issues. I've never boycotted a sport once. And I don't think I ever will. So if I've seen guys on camera hit women, if I've seen guys on photographs abusing children, if I've seen guys who are players in NBA basketball, in the NFL, in Major League Baseball, in the NHL, NASCAR, golf, whatever I may be, do really bad things and go to prison, and I'm not boycotting it over that, oh, we stand differently politically on certain issues? I don't agree with everything that David said. I'll let David talk. I don't care. So I do think that, yeah, you have your right to do it, but yeah, a fan does have their right to turn the channel. I don't think it's as pronounced as that. I don't. I think when you get into the fan issue of a player being able to do whatever he wants, when a fan is not allowed to do whatever they want, a player has got the right or has achieved the right to be able to do whatever they want. Yeah, that's fine. And a fan, because it's entertainment, they can turn and go somewhere else. They can do anything they want. And for a lot of folks out there, that turns them off. A player who is of the caliber of the NBA, the top upper 1% of NBA player, the LeBron James's, well, there's really only one LeBron. LeBron, Kevin Durant, Harden, those type of guys, they've achieved the right that they can pick and choose wherever they want. And, hell, they could really lay down in the case of James Harden. They could lay down and get themselves traded if they really want to. Fans don't like that. This is part of the reason why fans love the NFL. People love once a week. Anticipation, all out, can't call it war because that's crazy, but a battle between good and evil. They love that type of thing. And they also love the way that the NFL set up. There's a hard cap, and if you're good to their favorite team, you'll be around for a long time. If you're not good to their favorite team, we don't need you anymore. We believe in our favorite team. We don't want you around anymore. That's the beauty of the NFL. It's cold-blooded to the player. It's as cold as it gets, nasty even. But fans love it. Because fans in professional sports, you don't see this in a lot of other walks of life. In professional sports, there will be plenty of people who say on social media, who say on the radio, I'm for the players. I support the players, and I support what they want to do. I support them going from city to city to city to city because they don't want to get retweets and they don't want to get dunked on social media. But really, if you're a fan, you root for the owners. You root for the billionaires because they represent your best interests. You're a Knicks fan, or I shouldn't use the Knicks because it's in a major city. You're a Thunder fan. You want your players to stay. You want to watch your favorite team be a competitive team with great players. Same thing in Major League Baseball and in the NFL. It's the best of both worlds. You keep players as long as they're usable. And if you have a good front office, there's no salary cap on them. You can keep them as long as you want. 855-212-4CBS. Tony in Vancouver, Washington. He was first up. Hello, Tony.
Hey, Ken. People say that they're going to boycott sports. 99% of the time, that's not true. But there is one game that I boycotted, and I ain't ashamed I didn't. That's when the Rams went to the Super Bowl after that New Orleans game. I didn't watch that Super Bowl because the two best teams weren't there. It went to the legitimacy of the game, and I didn't watch it. The NBA is a bit – go ahead.
No, my eyebrows are raised. Continue, Tony. Continue.
Yeah.
I'm just excited.
The NBA is a victim of its own self. The front office can't ban a trade like they did with Chris Paul and allow LeBron James to build a super team. What if Michael would have went out and got Bird and Jordan and Barkley at discount rates because they're millionaires to win a title? Three-quarters of the teams of the NBA know they got zero chance of winning the title, and that's why they suffer.
Yeah.
To me, that's what I don't know. I don't know if I'm legit what I'm saying, but that's what
I
say.
I think you're right. I think you're right. Like a guy like me. Tony, thank you very much for the call. You look at a guy like me, all right? And I know I keep using Cleveland and the Cavaliers as an example, and maybe some people don't like that, and I'm sorry. I'm just going to use this as my example. Go with me. If you're in Detroit, try to do it the same way after you watch your team win a championship in 2004. I'm a big Cavs fan. The Cavs are my favorite team in my city. I've always, even though I'm a big football guy, I love football. I love football coaches. I love the whole thing. The Cavs, of the three teams in Cleveland, growing up, the Cavs were always like a stepchild to everybody else, and I just loved them. And so they're my favorite. They're my baby. I love the Cavs. The Cavs got me. I'll try to talk myself into Colin Sexton and Darius Garland and all these other guys, even though probably not, right? They got me. What about my son? My son's 5 years old. My son likes basketball. My oldest. Is my son going to be a Cavs fan, or is my son going to be a fan of players? When we went and we bought this house 2 years ago, I went to, I can't imagine how many different times. I did this before. This is back, LeBron had just left, Kyrie was already gone, and I looked when we went to open houses, right? I'm going around because I got three young boys at that time, just then three young boys. I'm going around and I'm going to the open houses. I go to these different towns and you walk around the house, you see the kids' rooms. I see nothing but Kyrie Irving, Boston stuff. I'm in Northeast Ohio. So I'm the guy who has to pay the freight for my kids to go to an NBA game. Now, I may go to one game based on it, but how am I going to go to more than one game just because Kyrie Irving's in town? What's my buy-in? And if my kid is a fan of a player and not connected to the Cavs, if my kid is a fan of the player and not connected to the Detroit Pistons or any other mid-market team for that matter, for the Memphis Grizzlies, what's my buy-in? How am I going to get it to be done? And it's been called a traveling roadshow. It's a traveling roadshow. Okay, and on any night, there's a dozen games that nobody cares about. There's maybe two that people care about. The other ones nobody care about. And the attendance will show so. The interest, the ratings will show as much. But that is a gripe and a complaint and a moan, and I wish I knew how to fix it. I can try to fix it. I can tell you that, hey, maybe they should take away tanking the best way they can. Maybe no top five picks in consecutive years. Maybe no top three picks in consecutive years if you want to do it that way. And if we have to have a hard line lockout for over a year, maybe that's what it's going to take. Maybe we need to limit. There's plenty of people coming up with good ideas on Twitter. I got David here. Ken, one max contract. One max contract for anybody else. Unlimited max contracts for anybody signed. That's it. That's all hard cap. Boom. Done. You're going to have a major lockout over that. And if you're willing to save it, I'm willing to sit through it. Dave, Vancouver, Canada. You're next up on CBS Sports Radio. Go ahead, Dave.
Hey, Ken, I just want to say thank you for that brilliant sermon this morning. What a way to wake up. It was fantastic.
Thank you.
You know, the bottom line of this NBA, I go back to the 50s in sports. So I remember Curt Flood. And, you know, what baseball was like. I remember a guy that played, get this, the St. Louis Browns. He was making something like 15 grand. And he said, I'm not going to play in the majors anymore. They said, what are you going to do? He said, I'm going to Hollywood. I'm going to be with Sinatra and company. And I'm going to be able to party. I'm going to make 25 grand. That's, you know, listen, it's always been a business. We understand that. We know it's a business. And here we have now the likes of, you know, LeBron and Kerr and Popovich, social justice warriors. I got no problem with that. That's wonderful. But by the way, Adam Silver, he said we've got 20% of our market from Communist Party of China. We want it to be 30%. But 3 million Uyghur Muslims and genocide, it's been indicated by hundreds of countries in the world.
Dave,
we'll just turn our eyes to that. We're not worried about that. I'm sorry.
Dave.
No, I think you're right. Older fans like me, we're saying, hey, you're turning me off. If you're going to drag in the politics constantly, you got to be consistent. Now, number two, what's going on with the COVID situation in the NBA where teams are dressing 8 players, where you've got my Raptor team. You know, we won a championship 2 years ago. Last night, we didn't dress our remaining star players that we have, and we basically went with – we tried to tank. We still beat Orlando. That's how bad they are. I mean, it's a terrible product to watch. And then tomorrow night, I'm boycotting the team that I've followed for going on, you know, something like 65 years, the Toronto Maple Leafs. They haven't won in 54 years. They haven't won a playoff since 2003. And you got the Vancouver Canucks, 20 players coming off COVID. They will not play in practically 4 weeks. And they've had 2 practices. They're going to have to play Sunday, Monday? That's not hockey. They're bringing up a bunch of scrubs from the AHL. I mean,
Dave,
it's all about making the buck. I won't watch that.
Dave,
I'm sorry,
Dave,
Ken. I'm
Dave,
out when it comes to sports like that.
Thank you for the call. Thank you for the call. We went off the road there for a minute. We got back on the road. Ended up being a good call. Ended up being a good call about that. Now, I'm not sure about the hockey. You would know more about hockey. I have no idea about it. I wish I knew more. I respect hockey. I wish I did, but I don't. So that sounds amiss to me. I know about the Canucks situation, but when you're talking about 2 games in 2 days, that's a little bit rough for everybody. But for the NBA, no, when you don't have your marketable stars out there on a given night, and the only way you can watch is on TV in a lot of places where maybe there's 1,000 allowed in certain arenas, you're going to be in a tough spot. 855-212-4CBS. We'll get to you guys. And, yes, Julian Edelman, not a Hall of Famer, but I think he's getting in the Hall of Fame, folks. It's Ken Carmen, CBS Sports Radio.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.